All right. Good afternoon, everyone. We're ready to go. It's 2 o'clock. This is the Wednesday, July 22nd, 2020 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Good afternoon, Carla. Please call the roll.
Good afternoon, Mayor. Hardesty?
Here.
Udaly?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. And now we need me to read the electronic statement first. Under Portland City Code and state law, the City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the council are attending remotely by video and teleconference. And the city has made several avenues available for the public to listen to the audio broadcast of this meeting. The meeting is available to the public on the city's YouTube channel, eGovPDX, www.portlandoregon.gov/video, and Channel 30. The public can also provide written testimony to the council by emailing the council clerk at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. The council is taking these steps as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit in-person contact and promote physical distancing. The pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely by electronic communication. Thank you all for your patience, flexibility, and understanding as we manage through this difficult situation to do the city's business. And with that, we'll hear from our city attorney on the rules of order and decorum.
To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. The published council agenda at portlandoregon.gov/auditor contains information about how and when you may sign up for testimony while City Council is holding electronic meetings. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When your time is up, the presiding officer will ask you to conclude. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being placed on hold or ejected from the remainder of the electronic meeting. Please be aware that all council meetings are recorded.
Very great. Thank you for that. Our first item today is item 616. Carla, could you please read it?
Refer to the voters a 5-year local option tax levy for the November 3, 2020 general election to restore recreation programs and protect parks and natural areas.
Colleagues, today is an exciting and important day for the future of our parks and recreation system and for the legacy of our good friend and colleague, Commissioner Nick Fish. During the development of the fiscal year 1920 budget, Commissioner Fish shared with council the parks faced an operational funding gap that could not be solved with merely one-time fixes. The council made the difficult decision to reduce the parks budget, but also directed the Bureau to begin to work to fix the structural issue. As a first step, Commissioner Fish and Director Long led a work session last November to talk about the park system that we have today, the one we want to have, and what we need to do to get there. Park staff took the council's feedback and continue to explore a range of options that would improve services, make our system more equitable, and ultimately stabilize the Bureau's budget. But of course, COVID-19 changed everything, as it has for the entire city budget, for many Portlanders, and for businesses of all sizes. Portland parks and recreation has been hit especially hard. And we know that recreation activities, special events, and even more than that have been canceled since March. And the same structural problem, the Bureau's dependence on fees that caused the gap last year, has reared its head again. As things stand today, Portland Parks and Recreation is likely unable to reopen pools or community centers or to offer camps, classes, and swimming lessons of the kind that we're used to, even in the summer of 2021, because of the extended closure. At the November work session, I said that parks needed to make a play for history and one that we can be proud of for generations to come. And so today I'm proud to propose a five-year operating levy for Portland voters to consider. This is a critical first step toward fulfilling our shared vision for a more stable Parks Bureau that can better serve all Portlanders. Before I turn it over to Parks Director Adina Long for a brief presentation on the details of this proposal, we're going to hear from several Portlanders who cherish our park system in this brief video.
My name is Mokhtar Al-Hatmi and I have five kids, all boys. Parks here in Portland, for me, it looks like second home.
I'm Linda Robinson and I'm a park advocate. I've been advocating for parks in East Portland for about 30 years.
My name is Mike Bretto Jackson. An important thing to know about me is that I'm a father, you know, I'm an activist, artist, entrepreneur, mentor. These parks are crucial to the benefit of the Black community.
Parks and recreation are very important, especially now.
Because we need to play outside now more than ever.
Now more than ever, Portland Parks is very, very important.
Feel welcome here, feel safe here.
People need a space to go breathe. They need a space to go relax. They need a space to take a walk, to think.
So me and my brothers and kids like us can play.
So I really get a sense of just peace and tranquility.
Oh, I feel so happy when I see my kids play and run around in the parks.
I love walking through the woods. I feel really good. And then I just think about how old are these trees and how long have they been here.
All Portlanders should have access to the amazing activities that Portland Parks offers.
Portland Parks are a place that everyone needs. As a musician, I go to parks and it inspires me to write.
That's what keeps Portland healthy.
It's health. It's social.
We need our parks to be welcoming for all the people.
Closing down community centers would be the worst thing you can do right now.
If there's one thing we need in this day and age, it's our park and recreation system.
Having a strong park system for the next generation is absolutely critical.
I just can't imagine how barren their life would be without the parks.
We need to keep it clean for next generation, the generation after that, and the whole community, because we all deserve to play at parks.
We need that investment. We all do.
Thank you, Mukhtar, Linda, and Mike, for sharing your stories. Director Long, this tees you up for your presentation. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler. Good afternoon, Council. I appreciate the opportunity to work with you to advance Portland Parks and Recreation's vision of building a sustainable future. I'd like to begin with some acknowledgement of my team who helped us get here today. They're also available to answer your questions if needed. Thanks to Sarah Huggins, who has managed the levy process to date, Todd Lofgren, our deputy director, and Claudio Capozzano, our finance, property, and technology manager. And I'd like to note that our division managers have also joined us today. Thank you to our invited guests and the community members who have signed up to give public testimony. We appreciate the many ways you support our efforts. Let's get started on the presentation. We appreciate the opportunity to be here today to ask City Council to refer a measure for a five-year operating levy to the November 3rd, 2020 ballot. Our colleague and friend, late Commissioner Nick Fish, would be proud that we are having this conversation. Let's be clear. This conversation is about the future of Portland Parks and Recreation, and by extension, the future of Portland. It's about making Portland a healthier, more equitable community. Due to the COVID-19 public health emergency, our challenges are greater than ever, and the need for solutions is more urgent. Portland Parks and Recreation and the role we play in the community is at a crossroads. Next slide, please. Equity is achieved when one's identity cannot predict the outcome. Our community continues to face inequities, whether visiting a neighborhood park, accessing nature, or learning how to swim. Equity has been and continues to be at the forefront of our management decisions, and we've made progress. For example, system development charge funds have allowed us to build new parks in underserved communities like East Portland. We've made our workforce more reflective of the Portland community. Employees of color are now 32.6% of our total workforce. We have increased the percentage of full-time employees of color by 12% over the last 5 years. We've prioritized equity in contracting for disadvantaged, minority and women-owned, and emerging small businesses. In fact, we've achieved 46%, more than double the city's 20% goal. Equity will continue to inform how we address upcoming challenges and opportunities, regardless of our funding levels. But we know that we have much more work to do, and to make real progress, we need more resources. Next slide. We appreciated the opportunity to have a work session with City Council last fall to discuss the future of our parks and recreation system. We highlighted how service levels would change over time with three different levels of funding. And we showed that without additional funding, our service levels will continue to decline. At the work session, City Council told us to pursue alternative funding so that we could provide the parks and recreation system Portlanders need and want. We also talked about the inequities in our system, especially for Portlanders of color and East Portlanders. I want to share two examples how our park system is not equitable. Next slide. Portlanders attended classes, camps, swimming, and other recreation programs over 2 million times last year. But to provide those programs, we have to charge fees, which means that many Portlanders have not been able to benefit from them. Cost is more of a barrier to Portlanders of color and East Portland residents. Next slide, please. People want their parks to be clean and to feel safe, but safety is more of a barrier for Portlanders of color and East Portland residents. This levy would make our parks more clean, safe, and welcoming. Next slide. Since last fall, we began exploring additional funding opportunities based on feedback from the November work session. We reorganized to implement a difficult budget, and as of March 1st, we were on track for a balanced year. Then COVID-19 hit, and everything changed. We pivoted quickly to protect the health and safety of our community and staff while responding to the pandemic. We have continued to show up and serve the public, especially for our most vulnerable neighbors. We expanded our free summer meal program, offered shelter for people experiencing homelessness, opened our restrooms 24 hours a day, and turned on drinking fountains early. I am proud of the work our team has done during this public health crisis. Portlanders have flocked to our parks and natural areas. Now, more than ever, it's clear that our parks and recreation system is central to the community's health and emotional well-being. Next slide. We are doing our best, but due to COVID-19, Portlanders have seen painful service level reductions. We have closed our community centers, indoor and outdoor pools, and playgrounds. We had to lay off or not hire most of our casual and seasonal staff, meaning more than 1,700 people are without work this summer. Many of our culturally specific and most popular events and programs have been canceled, like the Stand with Refugees and Immigrants event, Portland World Soccer Tournament, Summer Free for All, and recreation and environmental programs. The public health crisis has magnified the fundamental flaw in how we fund parks and recreation programs. In the recreation division, fees pay for more than 40% of recreation services to the community. Without new funding, we may not have a way to serve Portlanders next summer with the programs that they've come to expect. We would struggle to keep our parks clean, safe, and welcoming, and to maintain our natural areas and trees, which are important to clean water, protecting wildlife, and diminishing the impacts of climate change. Next slide. Mayor Wheeler and I believe that an operating levy is a necessary solution to bring us out of this current crisis and a first step towards fulfilling Commissioner Fish's long-term vision for a sustainable parks and recreation system. Over the past few years, we've had ongoing effort to collect feedback from the community. Most recently, in late May, we conducted a public opinion poll of likely voters about potential funding options. We heard that Portlanders love their parks and value them as a priority. This is consistent with what we've heard in other community engagement processes. Our proposal is a five-year operating levy of 80 cents per $1,000 of assessed value. A reminder to the public watching today that assessed value is different than market value. For a home with a slightly above median assessed value of $200,000, people would pay about $13 each month. We expect to raise an average of $48 million each year, which will allow us to restore recreation programming for all, protect and grow parks and natural areas, and invest in stronger community partnerships. To deliver these enhanced services, our general fund budget cannot be reduced. Next slide. With levy funding, the Bureau could end its dependence on fees. We could restore recreation programming and jobs and build from the ground up a new equity-focused model. We could also safely reopen community centers and pools and resume programming for summer 2021. And if COVID-19 is still with us, levy funding would make us resilient enough to offer recreation programs in a safe manner. Next slide. For example, our new recreation model could offer free swimming lessons for all families that qualify for free and reduced lunch, free programming through sun schools, and free summer and after-school camps for low-income families, expanded age and culturally specific programming, like growing our Teen Force program to serve more youth. And a levy would keep the doors open at Multnomah Arts Center, Community Music Center, and the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, and fund the operations of a North Portland pool. Next slide, please. Our maintenance team is 11% smaller today than it was 10 years ago. And during that same period, the city's population grew 13%. With levy funding, the Bureau could take much better care of our 11,000 acres of parks, 8,000 of which are natural areas. We could keep parks cleaner, safer, and more welcoming for all. Our urban forestry team could plant additional trees in parks and natural areas and proactively care for the 1.2 million trees that already grow in these areas. This important work ensures clean water, protects wildlife, and diminishes the impacts of climate change. Next slide. For example, with a levy, we could provide more young adults with work experience through youth conservation and internship programs, develop a strategy in partnership with communities of color and East Portlanders to make parks safer and more welcoming, create new opportunities for stewardship and environmental education partnerships with marginalized communities, improve cleanliness in parks and restore and protect natural areas, and fund the operations and maintenance of new parks built by our System Development Charge Program, where today we need to ask council for general funds. Next slide, please. With levy funding, we would center community decision-making, oversight, and partnerships to deliver an equitable parks and recreation system for all Portlanders. We've already begun this work. In the past months, we've been engaging the community, and we will continue to do so through the next year. One of our community meetings included 150 participants focused on services for new Portlanders. We would provide community grants to support stakeholders and service providers. Community oversight would include annual reports and an independent audit. And we will partner with you, City Council, to annually review and approve our plans for levy funding. Next slide, please. Our parks and recreation system is essential to Portlanders' health, wellness, and connection to one another. I've only been in Portland for a short time, but I've spent my entire professional career dedicated to providing parks and recreation services to the public. Commissioner Fish brought me here to help build a sustainable and equitable parks and recreation system for all Portlanders. We are now at a decision point to invest in our parks and our people. My best ideas come from the community. So, Mayor Wheeler, I'll turn it over to you now so we can hear from community leaders how this investment would transform their lives, their parks, and their city. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Long. Colleagues, my office has received many messages from community members and colleagues in support of this proposed levy. I'd like to take a minute to read excerpts of letters from two community leaders who are RSD. I'll get to you. I see you have your hand up. In the interest of time, I'm not going to read their full letters, but they have been shared with the council offices and they will be entered into the official record. Metro President Lynn Peterson said on behalf of the Metro Council, quote, "We especially appreciate how you and your staff have been nimble in the development of this levy to respond appropriately to the challenges of the moment and to do what you've heard from the community to center equity in the delivery of programs and services." And in his letter of support, Dion Jordan reminded us of a quote from his dad, former city commissioner and parks director Charles Jordan, quote, "What people don't understand, they won't value. And what they don't value, they won't protect. And what they don't protect, they will lose." Before we get to invited testimony, Commissioner Hardesty, you have your hand raised.
Thank you, Mayor. And thank you for allowing me to speak before you get to public testimony. As you know, I only have a half hour left and I have to go to the governor's task force on police training reform. I want to make a statement about my concern, both about this levy and how it's being presented today to the public. I'm actually taking offense at utilizing Commissioner Fish's name to promote this parks levy. The last time I talked to the director of parks, they were directed to go out and look for and give the public three options of what we could how we could permanently fund our park system. I told the director to her face, I am a strong park supporter and I need to be in the loop. Then I hear from Metro Council President that the city of Portland is moving a parks levy to the ballot. And as a sitting city commissioner, to be shocked would be an understatement. Now I find out that this levy has been thrown together in a back room somewhere. And a letter went out from the parks director and the mayor that basically sounded like a threat to the community. If you don't pass this levy, we won't have parks. I'm appalled by that as well. I am appalled that we are being asked to vote on a levy that does not fully fund parks. And it did not give the city council the opportunity to do their due diligence to determine whether or not in this COVID-19 pandemic environment that this was the highest priority of the city of Portland. I have seen nothing from parks that says that they've done any analysis about how COVID will impact parks programs. If the director believes that park programs will operate like they did last year, then she is misinformed. I am absolutely appalled at the full court pressure of running this to a ballot that will have over $15 billion of asks for people who are unemployed, who are facing evictions, or facing houselessness. And this feels to me like an underhanded deal with no input at all, not from parks employees or from the people who are elected to serve the city of Portland. I want to be very clear. I am a strong supporter of parks, but I will not be bullied into supporting a half-baked plan that does not fully fund our parks operations and will still make you dependent on the general fund. If this is the way the director of parks operates, I have lost all confidence that we will have the kind of park system that I expect us to build. I want to be very clear. I, in no way, even if I was here, would vote for something that was created in a back room with no input and no conversations with elected leaders. And to have the arrogance to come around and say, this is what we're going to do without input. I'm just appalled. I'm appalled at this whole situation. I'm appalled at the tactics that were used to develop this levy. And I want to be clear. I will in no way vote for it. I will in no way support it. And I will make sure that people know that this was not a deliberative process at all. This was a small group of people and when I that decided that this was the best route. When I asked the director, well, why did you told me you were coming back with these other options. Well, we need money. Well, guess what? The entire city needs money. The fact that you need money is not a good reason for us to rush this to the ballot. And if this is the way some directors operate, I have to say, I have no confidence in the information I get out of parks anymore, because if you would misrepresent yourself as somebody who's actually seeking input and then don't get input, I'm absolutely appalled. I am a no vote. If I was here, I'd be a no vote. And I will be out actively campaigning against this measure because it did not have this. It had no input from the people who've been elected to lead this city. Thank you.
Commissioner Fritz, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, I just have to say that I have been involved. I was offered briefings several times and took them. You know, obviously we're here to discuss the merits. And so I know that I appreciate that Commissioner Hardesty is careful about invoking Commissioner Fish's name. He and I both loved parks. I still do. I know that Commissioner Hardesty does as well. And I think were he here, he would definitely be speaking up in support of Director Long. And so just to say that there's more to be considered, I will make some more comments when I get back. But my recollection of the discussion we had in November, which was probably the last time that Commissioner Fish was in City Hall with all of us, just before he went out on the leave in December, was that it was very clear that there would continue to be need for general fund and that there would be other things explored. And one of the other things that was being explored back in November was a restaurant food and beverage tax. Obviously with the COVID decimation of the restaurant businesses, that's now off the table. There could be some other options explored. Parks has traditionally used serial levies for a very long time. In terms of how it will affect people, many homes in Portland are already maxed out on property taxes, so it will take from other levies, such as the children's levy, which, considering there will be perhaps another funding stream for preschool, is perhaps a reasonable thing to do. But I would prefer that we talk about the merits of the proposal.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Let me just say that as a member of the City Council, I have an expectation that what a director tells me is the truth. And it was not. And so when it's not, and then I have to hear from another government that we're moving something forward, that is not the way I will participate in our government and in our governance of the city of Portland. And Commissioner Fritz, you told me that when you heard about it, you were told it was going on the ballot. So it wasn't that you were involved in the conversations to figure out what went on the ballot. You were told that it was actually headed to the ballot. So let's be honest here about what it is we're being asked to do and why. We're being asked to support this because Parks is desperate. But Parks has not done the planning necessary to win the support of me, and maybe they have of you, but not of me, and not when I find out outside of City Hall that what I was told directly to my face by the director is not in fact what's happening. And so again, when people do behind door, closed door deals, I will never be a part of those kind of backroom dealings. So I'm a no and I'm gone. Thank you.
Commissioner Udaly. Yeah, you're still muted.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm just trying to gather my thoughts. So my recollection of the conversation last year during the work session on sustainable funding was that the option that rose to the top were general obligation bonds or GO bonds. And I raised that issue with Director Long, and she gave me an explanation that was satisfactory to me. There's multiple criteria we have to look at, and a big one right now is allowable use because of the crisis that Parks is in with funding. But you know, we're also concerned about volatility, whether the tax is progressive or regressive, and what kind of compression it's going to put on this overall system. I'll just say that it's frustrating that we continue to have to advance solutions like this when the real problem is the state and federal government not making everyone pay their fair share. And we keep having to come back with items like this. And this fall, there is a funding measure frenzy on the ballot. All of that being said, I believe that parks and our community centers are absolutely essential under normal circumstances, but will be indispensable when it comes to our resiliency through this crisis and our recovery. And so I'm really interested in, I guess the council and the public needs to understand why this is the best way forward in this moment. And so anything that Director Long or any of the other presenters can do to convey that information, I think would be really helpful, because we have a lot of hard choices on the ballot this fall. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Udaly. And I'm going to jump in here. This isn't part of the presentation, but I have a couple of thoughts. First of all, we have known for 2 years, and this is not in response to your comments, Commissioner Udaly or Commissioner Fritz. I am now framing my own thoughts. We have known for 2 years that the Parks Bureau is running significant structural deficit. And we have heard for several budget sessions in a row from the public extensively about the importance of the Park Bureau. In fact, Parks issues raised to the top of the list in each of the last several budgets that I have presided over. And we as a council engaged together in a conversation under Commissioner Fish's leadership about how we were going to make our park system, which is beloved by the people of this community, how we were going to make that system sustainable for both the near term and for the long term. And we looked at, as Director Long said, 3 specific scenarios. As a council, we were unanimously in agreement that we would not let the Parks Bureau continue to deteriorate, that we would get ahead of the financing issues that the Parks Bureau was struggling with. Commissioner Fish was doing an outstanding job of leading to that effort. I don't think it was ever a secret that it was going to lead to some additional financing mechanism. I assumed that that was a given, unless we were planning on breaking out the old printing press. There has been extensive public participation and engagement, and I'm sorry that Commissioner Hardesty did not stick around to hear some of the other comments that were going to be made or the public testimony. But this should have come as a surprise to nobody. And then finally, I'm just going to say this as a matter of decorum. We are the city council. The bureau directors work for us. And it is our responsibility to work with them and make sure we have the information we need, that we are provided what we need, that our staffs are collaborating effectively. This is the second bureau director in two items today where the bureau director has been impugned. And I just don't think that is acceptable behavior for us as commissioners. If we have a problem with the veracity of a bureau director, we should take it up in person first. And if we believe there is really a problem of trust or veracity there, then maybe that is the appropriate time to take it beyond that. But I hope that in the future that these differences of opinion regarding policy will not boil over into a personal condemnation of our bureau directors. So on that happy note, I would like to start introducing some of the folks from the community who've been engaged in this process. I thank them for their engagement. First of all, we have Jules Bailey, the incoming chair of the Portland Parks Foundation. Good afternoon, Jules.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you to the City Council for taking time to consider this very important measure. My name is Jules Bailey, and as you mentioned, Mayor, I am the incoming chair of the Portland Parks Foundation. I am also a former elected official with 8 years in public office and a former county commissioner. And I want to begin by congratulating Director Long and her staff. I have been part of a number of processes to bring funding measures and other measures before the public. I was involved with the housing bond through the county. I currently serve on a number of organizations that are considering the measures that will go before the public this fall. And I have a very high bar for this kind of process. And Director Long and her staff have worked exceptionally hard to bring in the public, to have extensive public meetings, to work with stakeholders, to bounce ideas off of the public and interested parties, modify based on feedback, and to really craft a plan that I think is one that Portlanders can get behind and that I hope that all of you will get behind. And I appreciate the public process that went into this. As a former county commissioner, though, I actually want to start not with parks, but with libraries, of all things. And I saw firsthand what a difference it made to have a dedicated stream of funds for libraries when I was a county commissioner. I also saw what a difference it made as a parent, bringing my young kids into libraries and the reading programs, the community programs, and all of the services that libraries provided. And it'd be hard for me to imagine going into a library where it might be free to walk in, but then there was some sort of tiered scale where we had to pay to check out books or pay to be in the programs that they offered. And yet sometimes that's the situation that we face now and in the future with parks, with an inequitable access to the programs that parks offers. So why should parks be different? If libraries are in some sense temples for our minds, parks are temples for our bodies and our souls. And whether we are exercising or just contemplating, or whether we're there to play or just breathe, or whether we're gathering in parks for birthday parties or for protests, parks provide a space for the community to realize our community desires and our dreams. And I've always had access to parks growing up in Portland. I grew up on Mount Tabor. I took swim lessons at Selwood. My family now has access to Gabriel Park, the Southwest Community Center. The Multnomah Arts Center is right nearby and is a hub for our community. But that's not true for all Portlanders. And frankly, I can't express it any better than the people that you had in your video and the people that are coming behind me about the importance of equity and access for parks. But I fundamentally believe, and what I want to leave this council with, is that every Portlander deserves clean air and clean water, and especially with climate change, access to a place to cool off in the summers. That every kid deserves access to safe playgrounds. That every community deserves community pools, art centers, and facilities. And that, frankly, especially with school a little bit uncertain now, every family deserves some access to camps. It's very important for Portlanders to understand and have confidence that their park system will be robust, that it will be available to them, and that most of all, that they will be able to access it no matter who they are in Portland. This levy, and the small ask that it makes of voters is one that I think this council can be proud of, to put parks on a firm financial footing for the future that will leave a legacy that shows that parks are indeed the pride of Portland. Again, I congratulate the Bureau and this council on this important step. I fundamentally support it, and the Portland Parks Foundation will be an organization that will be right alongside you to help make sure that this is a successful effort in November. Thank you.
Thank you, Jules. We appreciate it. Thanks again for your tremendous leadership. Next up, we have Bonnie G. Yosick, Portland Parks Board Vice Chair. Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler. Mayor Wheeler, commissioners, my name is Bonnie G. Yosick, and I have the privilege of serving as Vice Chair of the Portland Parks Board. As you know, the board is comprised of a diverse group of individuals unified under a mission to bring a citywide and long-term perspective to issues involving our parks and recreation system. As you heard from Director Long, the future of Portland Parks and Recreation faces a crossroad. Burdened with a structural deficit and now facing severe program revenue loss due to the pandemic, decisions and circumstances outside the Bureau's control have created a budget gap so large that without sustainable funding, our parks and recreation system will fundamentally change for the worse. There is a choice that could mean a new future for the people of Portland, a choice that would prevent a material deterioration in parks programming, services, access, and facilities. We ask you to refer the operational levy for Parks and Recreation to the November ballot so voters have the opportunity to invest in our park system. In these fraught and unusual times, the importance of parks and open space infrastructure has become even more apparent. These public spaces have become, for some, their sole respite, and for others, their literal nourishment. Park staff anticipate a five-fold increase in the lunch and play program, serving an anticipated 500,000 meals to food insecure youth this summer. And you heard from Director Long about the community centers opened to provide much needed temporary shelter for individuals and the increased access to drinking water and restrooms. Strong and equitable parks and recreation systems are an essential infrastructure for healthy communities. They promote public health by improving air quality and mitigating the impacts of urban heat islands. Programs provided by parks teach our children to swim and to be creative, and they keep our seniors active. We go to parks to relax, to celebrate, to learn, and to play. But for that infrastructure to be either equitable or effective, it must be adequately funded. We recognize this levy as a first step toward that adequate funding. We support the referral of the operational levy to the November ballot and look forward to your decision. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Thank you for your leadership. And next, we have Vivesh Shandas, the Urban Forestry Commission Chair. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hello. Thank you. I hope you can hear me okay.
Loud and clear.
Excellent. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler. And commissioners, my name is Vivek Shandas, and I'm testifying as a resident of Southeast Portland. I'm a professor at Portland State University, and I also serve as chair of the Urban Forestry Commission. I will note, just in light of previous comments, that I did serve on the Sustainable Futures Task Force last fall, which brought together a number of community members to discuss, multiple options, bonds, taxes, et cetera. And it involved an economic analysis by Portland State University to examine compression and a number of equity issues that were also on the table for us to deliberate. We had several activities and really honed in on a levy as being one of our primary areas of interest. So I'll just note that given light of previous comments. I'm here to support the levy for a couple of reasons. First, we know that parks are instrumental to Portlanders. While we have general understanding of this reality and with earlier testimony today, I'm a data person. And to validate these claims for my own peace of mind, I needed to look into what data were available for the parks. So I was astonished upon analyzing Google's mobility reports. Now, these are reports that Google has made available for this 2020 year, partly as a response to COVID, to understand where people are spending time by using the well-understood phone data that Google collects. And these are all compiled together. And what I was astonished to see is that in Portland and in all other cities across the country with 300,000 people or more, that people were consistently and constantly using parks from February all the way through today. And in fact, what we're starting to see with that is that people were using parks more so than all other land uses in any of these cities. And so that to me was very interesting, at least from a data point, to understand that green spaces are playing a very therapeutic role for Portlanders. And while decades of research has pointed to the fact that parks and green spaces have been playing a very therapeutic role for human health and well-being, COVID and these mobility reports has made their therapeutic effects quantifiable. While the levy will also help to ensure that parks are open, well-maintained, and safe, I believe the levy will also bring a number of unexpected and invisible benefits to Portlanders that will help to keep our city cooler during the hot summer months, as well as our streets less flooded during the intense seasonal rainfalls. The levy pushes us in a promising direction and really, more than anything else, helps us understand the social therapy as well as reducing the acute effects of a warming planet. I would like to mention that I would urge the design of the levy to really take into consideration a number of things that I spend a lot of time thinking about. One of those is the urban forest. While we know that parks have forests, we also know that many of our streets have street trees that act as an urban forest. And in the design of this levy, I would really encourage decision makers to think carefully about how to enable the maintenance of street trees in this levy. It's something our commission, the Urban Forestry Commission, has been working for years to try to understand. We had a small bit of resources to be able to bring together a group of stakeholders to understand the options for moving forward on a street tree maintenance program that still has yet to find rooting, if you excuse the pun. And if we are able to center historically underserved neighborhoods, low-income communities, and communities of color in this street tree maintenance program, I think this levy will send us really quickly into a direction that will help us safeguard the parks, safeguard the trees, and really enable a thriving and sustainable future for the city of Portland. I thank you for considering my testimony today, and I look forward to hearing your deliberation. Thank you.
Thank you, Vivek. We really appreciate your leadership on this, and super cool backdrop, by the way. Colleagues, I also want you to know that I've spoken with Commissioner-elect Carmen Rubio, who also serves as the Executive Director of Latino Network, about this levy. And while she's out of town this week, I'm very excited that we have her Deputy Director, David Martinez, here with us to speak. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. My name is David Martinez, and I'm the Deputy Director here at Latino Network. And we went through a lot of internal discussions regarding this levy. Like many community-based organizations, we are responding to a tremendous need from our community members. In this time of COVID and this pandemic, it's such an unknown on the scale of need that is out there. So we recognize that this is a very difficult decision and it's a very difficult time. Having said that, after discussing and really thinking of what would help and provide support and provide opportunity for our community, we are in support of this levy. And what I want to do is I want to read a testimony, joint testimony, on behalf of again, our ED, Carmen Rubio, and myself. So for a number of years now, our organization has partnered with the Portland Parks and Recreation Bureau to offer safe spaces and positive activities for youth, both during and outside the school year. Right now, many youth lack safe spaces and activities to engage in during these summer months. The lack of programming disproportionately impacts Black, Indigenous, Latinx, and other communities of color, low-income, and East Portland neighborhoods. Latino Network Summer Academia provides youth ages 8 to 18 with positive, healthy, and educational summer activities, and our teen night programs provide a safe space on weekend nights for teens during the school year. Portland Parks and Rec plays a central role in these programs, both in activities and public spaces, and the programs rely on having access to parks and community centers to keep our youth safe, stimulated, and connected. Ending these partnerships will have a serious impact on our community in the time when we need it the most. Our communities are now unfairly faced with bearing the brunt of previous decisions by losing access to these services and coupled with the potential economic fallout of COVID. For these reasons, we are supportive of Council referring the Portland Parks and Recreation Levy to the November ballot, on the condition that it prioritizes support to Black, Indigenous, Latinx, Asian, Pacific Islander, and other communities of color and low income and East Portland communities the most. We are at a crossroads where we must make hard decisions to ensure funding is in alignment with our values, center community, and that parks facilities serve all equitably. We are compelled to state that we also have some reticence about whether this is the right time for a levy in the midst of budget constraints and a pandemic. After much consideration, we balance this concern with the reality of the long-term impacts of a declining public resource that is one of the most positively utilized resources by low-income and diverse communities. And if we are honest, we need even more ability to truly equitably serve communities. It goes beyond the scope of this levy, but this provides the necessary stabilization. The coronavirus pandemic has already devastated our youth and deprived them of the benefits of having continuous access to Portland parks and recreation spaces and programs. Extending permanent closures would heavily impact the emotional and physical well-being and safety of our students and their families. We have firsthandedly seen the value of our city parks, community centers, and programs for the community we serve and beyond. We know that these services are especially essential to our community during this global pandemic for both mental and physical health and overall well-being. Latino Network is in support of the Portland Parks Levy, and thank you for this opportunity to share testimony.
David, thank you so much for your testimony. We appreciate you being here. Thanks a lot for your leadership. Good comments. Next up, folks, we have Tom Kalev, who is the head of the Laborers Local 483. Tom, good afternoon. Thanks for being here.
Good afternoon, Mayor. Mayor Wheeler and commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Tom Collette, and I'm the lead field representative for Laborers Local 483. I'm actually not the leader of the organization. That's Farrell Richards, our business manager. But
well, you're here right now, so that makes you the leader now.
Well, I appreciate the faith in our leadership. Laborers Local 483 represents hundreds of frontline park workers who work at community centers, sun schools, and parks and wildlife locations throughout our great city. When the public thinks of Portland Parks and Recreation, they think of our members who staff the front desk at Mount Dishman, or remove trees from the right-of-way on icy nights. We are happy to be here today speaking in support of the Parks Levy, a first step towards sustainable funding of the Portland Parks and Recreation Bureau. We also understand the gravity of the moment. Without the passage of the proposed levy, it is highly unlikely that our beloved community centers could reopen, threatening to place large numbers of workers onto unemployment at a time of pandemic and little economic opportunity. With over 4,500 workers in fiscal year 2019, or 44% of the entire city workforce, Parks is the largest workforce in the city according to the City of Portland Demographics Dashboard. Our workforce is also one of the most diverse bureaus in the city. Again, from the City of Portland Demographics Dashboard for fiscal year 2019, 32.6% of the workforce were people of color and 56% were female. Parks workforce is also young. 61% of employees in 2019 were under the age of 30. HARP's jobs are traditionally a pipeline to full-time city employment, breaking down barriers to living wage jobs in the city. HARP's jobs are also community jobs. Our members are a lifeline to the elderly, the alter-abled, communities of color, teens, multilingual communities, and low-income families. HARP's, viewed through the lens of its impact, is the single largest social service our city provides, and hundreds of thousands of Portlanders rely on HARP's for education, fitness, community involvement, climate-controlled spaces, shower facilities, and even their daily meal. Over the last decade, HARP's has struggled with budget woes. As services have become more popular, funding has not kept up. This has resulted in reduced service levels, huge maintenance backlogs, large layoffs, and now, with the advent of the current global pandemic, a crisis so large that it threatens the integrity of the entire park system. Swift action must be taken to ensure that our park services are shored up and that city jobs are not lost. This levy, a progressive tax that increases with home value, will maintain park services for low-income Portlanders and prevent the loss of jobs during precarious economic times. Laborers Local 43 strongly supports the parks levy and urges a yes vote on today's referral. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate your leadership. Next up is Rachel Whiteside from ProTech 17. Good afternoon.
Hello, Mayor, Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. Just as a little background, professional and technical employees, Local 17 represents roughly 900 members at the City of Portland, most of which also live and recreate in our city. I'm here today speaking on behalf of the more than 50 employees represented by ProTech 17. These employees staff over a dozen parks programs, including the nationally renowned International Test Garden, community gardens, natural areas, our award-winning environmental education programs, and numerous other programs that help support the city's climate action plan and equity goals. Our members have chosen to work for the Portland Parks and Recreation Bureau because of their dedication to the Bureau's vision and to their community. ProTech 17 members care deeply about the programs that they have developed and, more importantly, the people that they support. Our members, for example, in the Natural Area Stewardship Program, work with volunteers to help restore natural areas, to encourage native species regeneration, provide habitat to wildlife, and provide safe trails to park visitors. They engage with young environmental leaders in the community through volunteer naturalist training, paid work programs, and science-based field trips to inspire the next generation of public employees. Programs like these advance the city's climate action plan, and they create an essential school-to-work pipeline within our community. ProTech 17 is in full support of moving forward with referring the operational levy to Portland voters in November. This is a key step towards achieving the sustainable funding of PPNR that this council has indicated is a priority. During these uncertain times, it is absolutely critical that Parks and Recreation has a reliable source of funding that will allow them to return to full operations as soon as our public health officials indicate that it is safe to do so. Parks and community facilities provide essential resources for disadvantaged populations, and our investment in these programs is a key component of the city's commitment to equity. Certainty and stability in both availability and access to these programs is crucial to their efficacy. Lowering barriers to entry by reducing reliance on fees is good policy for advancing these goals and places parks in a stronger long-term financial position. Portland's parks, natural areas, and employees are a vibrant thread in the beautiful tapestry that is our community. These essential assets connect people to place, self, and others. Maintaining access to these services and facilities for all Portlanders is vital to advancing the city's equity goals, which are of paramount importance at this challenging moment in time. Portland's residents care deeply for this legacy. We ask that you please give them the opportunity to maintain this treasure for future generations. Please vote in support of advancing the park's operational levy. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Rob Martineau from Ask Me Local 189 is our next invited testimony. We have two other individuals after that. Rob, good afternoon. Thank you for being here.
Good afternoon. Thank you. And thank you, Portland City Council. I want to offer a little bit of history on this. This is something that predates this council by quite a ways. I would say, let me start with my introduction. I am Rob Martineau. I'm the president of AFSCME Local 189. We represent about 1,000 employees in the city of Portland. I'm also a Portland Water Bureau employee and have been for 21 years maintaining a fantastic drinking water system. But with that, I was thinking about these comments earlier, and I started at the Parks Bureau in spring of 99. I took a seasonal job there, and it was a good job. I was amazed at the breadth and depth of the parks. It was amazing to see just what Portland's park system was. We fixed tennis courts, we delivered materials to ball fields, fixed fences, cleared debris, fixed walking paths. Then I spent that summer just in awe of what Portland had across its city. As my seasonal time was coming to an end and I was looking for more permanent work, I recalled what people had told me in my first few days on the job, is that the city could be a really good place to work, but if you can go anywhere but parks, do it. They are always underfunded, our jobs are on the chopping block, and we're always shorthanded. This has gone on for far too long. We all know that the current system for funding is not sustainable, and for too long we've deferred the critical work. We've robbed Peter to pay Paul, and we haven't treated Portland Parks and Rec like one of Portland's jewels, and it is. The Parks and Rec centers support us all through these good jobs, through open spaces, community programs. These programs increase the safety, and they promote the health of all Portlanders, young and old. We've let this go underfunded way too long, and now Parks needs the reset that this levy can provide. We've got to keep these critical services in place. Ultimately, these are the people's parks, and it will be the voters who decide. So please support this referral and let the people have their vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it. Next up is Jim Singh from the Portland Parks and Recreation Youth Conservation Corps. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
So my name is Dim, and I work for the Youth Conservation Crew. So the Youth Conservation Crew is a job for teens that involves working on trail, trees, and mostly habitat. Before I start off, I applied this job wanting to help the environment. So this was 2 years ago. And back then, I saw a lot of things on social media and news talking about global warming and how animals were going extinct. This impacted me a lot mentally, making me want to put my feelings in action, leading me to apply for the Youth Conservation Group. This job won't change the world, but at least will impact a small percentage that are the parks that I have worked in and will work in the future. Although, City of Portland will have better taken care of parks. So, going on about how this is a paying job, most of my coworkers come from many different backgrounds, including like low-income families. This money helps them by paying bills that their parents are struggling to pay for. Although it is a paying job, it is a learning opportunity, which I extremely value the most. Now, going on into about how it's racially diverse, I have met a lot of people that have changed my perspective, which improved my team working skills and communication. This will help me a lot in the long run, considering I'm only 16. Last of all, this work has helped a lot of parks in many ways, as well as visitors. Visitors will now have a better experience and flourish looking parks because of what the youth does, and will give further opportunity to want to come back and enjoy their time. In conclusion, I really hope you guys continue to fund Youth Conservation Crew so that others can experience this opportunity as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Dim. We appreciate it. Last but not least is Isaiah Johnson, the teen recreation leader at the East Portland Community Center and a former Teen Force participant as well. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Good afternoon, you guys. So my name is Isaiah Johnson, and I'm a recreation lead with Teen Force. I've worked for Teen Force for nearly 5 years, beginning when I was 16 years old at Charles Jordan Community Center. Before I was employed with Portland Parks and Recreation, Charles Jordan was my home away from home. To many, the community centers and pools are a place to work out, swim, play basketball, and enjoy the many classes that Portland Parks and Rec has to offer. but to myself as well as many other teens and their families. Teen Services provides much more than a place to go play. My experience was like many others in the Portland area. Growing up in a working family often meant that I was on my own most of the time. And without Teen Services and the safe space that they provided for me and my friends, there was a high probability that I could have been involved in the wrong things. However, Teen Services are more than just a safe space. Being an African-American male, it is often challenging to answer the question of, what do you want to do when you grow up? Teen Services has a diverse group of staff who come from all different backgrounds. So for me, when I saw the teen staff growing up, it was incredible to see that I could become someone who I looked up to. Now having transitioned from experiencing the program as a teen to working for Teen Force, I see the amazing benefits that the force has to offer to the youth. I get to make a positive impact daily on the youth of our future. This is personal to me because I was once these youth and also have a younger brother who can experience Teen Force. It's a truly amazing thing. He can see people who look like him and are positive role models in his life. He can have a safe space to play and enjoy his free time rather than possibly be involved in something that can be detrimental to his growth as a young adult. Without the levy, my brother, as well as many other youth in the program, could no longer have access to a safe and positive space where they can grow, learn, and mature into the amazing people that they are. As staff, we get to watch young adults mature and become the amazing people they are. We get to see their accomplishments firsthand, and we get to know their families. This is where the community centers truly become a community. Recently, I was asked a question by a director, Adina Long, that stuck with me over the past week. Do you have ideas about how additional levy resources could make the parks and recreation system more accessible and inclusive? The additional resources the levy could provide can make parks more accessible to all families. Often, cost is a barrier for families, and I can relate to this. The additional funding can allow us to expand our reach to the entire family rather than a specific age group. Oftentimes, myself included, youth are tasked with taking care of younger siblings. And for many years, when he was younger, we were not able to enter the community centers. With the current structure, this excludes many youths and their families, as they have no way of bringing their younger siblings into the centers to access the programs and facilities. I believe that the levy would be great for Portland Parks and Recreation, as well as Teen Force. Without the levy, there are so many families that would be negatively impacted by the huge loss of our community centers and the programs that we have to offer. It would truly be a huge loss to the community and the many youths and their families who depend on us every single day. We can see the effect of the community centers being closed due to the current pandemic. Community centers are a lifeline for many young people and their families. The recreation for all component of the proposed levy will create a boost and allow Portland Parks and Recreation to provide an outlet and support to all communities in Portland. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Isaiah. We really appreciate it. Commissioner Fritz, I see you have your hand raised.
Yeah, I just wanted to particularly thank Isaiah. I appreciated all of the union leaders lending their support, and thank you for being here. But Isaiah, you're just making me smile. The teen program, I agree, is absolutely fantastic, and hopefully it's growing a lot of future parks employees. I remember when we went from using paper resumes, which was really inequitable, to just opening it up at the Mount Tabor Community Center, and how many people just came to explain why they would be good at working for parks. And so thank you for being here, and thank you for your support.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. And are there any other questions before we open this up to public testimony? Before we do that, I want to thank all of our invited testimony. That was very important testimony. We appreciate you all taking the time to be here on this important referral. Commissioner Fritz, you have your hand raised again. Welcome.
I do. Thank you, Mayor. I just have a few questions for Director Long, because I think the public will want to know this. First of all, I'm really impressed with the presentation. I'm really impressed with how you are centering equity. This is not the same old parks levy as was done before. You're really looking at how do you build the programs that are most important with this levy. So thank you for that. People have asked, why are we not doing a parks district? Could you tell folks why we're not doing a parks district?
So I'm actually going to pass that question to Sarah Huggins, my colleague who is managing this process. She can speak about it most articulately.
Thank you, Adina. Good morning, Council. My name is Sarah Huggins, and I work for Portland Parks. Back in November, we investigated many funding options, and one of them was a parks district. A parks district involves not just a funding source, but also a change in governance structure. So under current Oregon law, The current city council could not be the governing body of a parks district. It would need to be an independent body or Multnomah County Commission. Parks makes up 10% of the city's land. And so this is a, we have many labor contracts as well. So this would be a major process to put a parks district in place, given the timeline that we're working on to refer something for a November ballot. That is something that we're going to continue looking at for the longer term, but not something which we could put in place in a short term.
Thank you. I remember that we did discuss at the work session, but obviously that seems like a million years ago. Thank you, Sarah. Okay, I have a couple more questions. The levy focuses on operational dollars, but Parks also has a significant deferred maintenance backlog. How is that going to be addressed?
Thank you, Commissioner. Yes, as you recall, or may recall, that when we first started looking at alternative funding, the deferred maintenance backlog was really our most pressing concern. And because of the COVID-19 really sort of illuminated the how vulnerable our operational model was, we had to pivot towards the levy. So we anticipate that the sustainable future process will continue. This is one step. We recognize that this is temporary, and that it's very specific to operational funding, and we understand and agree that we absolutely need to address the deferred maintenance, which we currently estimate at $500 million. So the work will continue as we move forward. And I'll just see if any of my colleagues have anything to add to that.
So let me ask a follow-up question in the meantime. As you just mentioned, the levy is time limited, and we've seen a serial levy model like the children's levy to be successful, but it's still a non-permanent funding source. Could you give us a little, you mentioned the sustainable future, could you give us a little bit more information about that?
Hi, Commissioner Fish, this is Sarah Huggins. So we are going to continue looking at a variety of funding sources. Ultimately, the long-term goal for the Parks Bureau would be to put a permanent funding mechanism in place. We have both continuing capital needs as well as operating needs, but a levy gets us 5 years, and we can look at a recurring model like the children's levy, as you mentioned, and we can also look at other funding sources that we discussed in the fall, so income tax, food and beverage tax, and other permanent solutions as well.
Thank you. You call me Commissioner Fish, and that's been a while since anybody's mixed us up, and it brings back memories. It's all right, though. It's quite all right. It's an honor. So finally, I know from being in charge of Parks how we manage the bond measure in terms of community oversight and public accountability. Could you just summarize what the measure calls for in terms of ongoing looking into how this money is going to be used?
Yes, we also, similar to the 2014 park replacement bond, we will create an oversight committee comprised of community members to make sure that we remain accountable to what the levy is stated we would provide to the community. We're also going to arrange to ensure that we have independent audit. And of course, every year we'll be coming back to the council with our budget. And the levy expenditures will be included in that budget. So there's quite a few sort of touch points where we can be held accountable to ensure that we're using the resources from the public in an appropriate way.
Thank you very much. I don't have plans for after December, and I know we want to. It's a really big deal to serve on these oversight committees. The committee does a huge amount of work, and I know we want to make that opportunity available to people who haven't previously been involved, but I'll definitely be watching it closely. Thank you.
Was that a volunteer opportunity, Commissioner?
It was kind of an angling, but as I say, you know, I've kind of had my turn with Parks, and it would be a great honor for whoever gets appointed to that committee.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. And with that, then we will turn to public testimony. Carla, how many people do we have signed up today?
It looks like there are 11.
Very good. Why don't we go ahead? We're good. Go ahead. 3 minutes each name for the record.
Okay. The first person is Andy Nelson.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to weigh in here on the Parks Levy. As way of introduction, I want to talk about my experience with parks in two ways. First is the 7 years I spent on the Parks Board, and the second is what I'm hearing as Executive Director of Impact Northwest. And 7 years on the Parks Board, one of the main things we do every year is advise the Commissioner on the budget and the Council on the budget. And for so many years, we were literally stuck in a situation of having to make really tough cuts year after year, literally sitting around having to close kiddie waiting pools and make other tough cuts we knew were going to affect people. And at the end of the day, it was always about where's the revenue. So I'm really delighted to see that we have a solution here to fix an issue that's gone back many, many years. And then in my role as Executive Director of Impact Northwest, it's very clear when we talk to clients that the affordability of Portland is just getting out of reach. And of course, you know that, you all know that. We think of that often about housing. So I'm very excited that this levy would actually waive the fees. We heard earlier from Isaiah and his experience and not being able to go to parks. And I think it's an incredible opportunity to take a little bit of a burden off of people. And the folks we work with, what we hear is that any relief like this that we can take off of folks to make life more available and enjoyable is going to go an awfully, awfully long way. I can just end by saying that we can afford this and we need to. This is a play for history, and I'm optimistic that you'll do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Andy.
Next is Mike Abate.
Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Mike Abate. I had the honor to serve as the Director of Portland Parks and Recreation from 2011 to 2018. Today's parks funding shortfall is not new. During my time as director, as Andy mentioned, PPR's budget was reduced in 5 of 7 budget years. And actually, the last long-range plan for the Bureau, the Parks 2020 Vision, adopted by Council 20 years ago, said that, in fact, our park system is at once sensational and shameful. Moreover, increased growth, changes in our culture and housing, and lack of funding threaten the park system legacy that is so vital to our city's quality of life. And you can go even back even further than that to the last century with the bedrock foundation of our park system, the 1903 Olmsted Plan, where landscape architect John Charles Olmsted said this: "I've enjoyed my park reconnaissance in Portland very much, as the landscape is fine and the possibilities for parks, as far as land is concerned, are excellent. But I fear the money will be deficient." Well, he was absolutely right. It has been for over 120 years. As Director Long made clear in her letter to you, the Bureau's budget was taken off life support this year when all community centers and pools had to be closed due to COVID-19, thereby eliminating fees and other revenues. The closures also highlight the inequity of building a system on a fee-for-service model, preventing those who need the programs and activities the most from accessing them. So now is the time to restore the parks and recreation services that Portlanders want. The $48 million a year generated will provide the recreation, swimming lessons, park safety, and maintenance that will once again make our park system the gem of the city. I will support and urge others to support this new levy with one condition: ensure that if it passes, the city will not reduce the Bureau's annual general fund allocation. As Director Long said in her letter, quote, "PPNR does not expect that funding from a levy will reduce our ongoing general fund allocation," close quote. Let's lock that in. To prevent this in the future, I'd request there be language added to your resolution 616 that says something to the effect that during the life of the levy, if passed, PPNR will continue to receive no less than their 2020 to 2021 allocation of general fund. In 2014, Portlanders voted overwhelmingly to approve a $68 million bond measure to fix our parks. It's time to ask them to fund a levy that will allow us to reopen our parks. I urge you to vote yes today. But let's not kid ourselves. This is not the permanent funding solution that your Sustainable Future work session in November called for. This is a very needed five-year Band-Aid, but a future council will have to make the tough decision on what to do when it expires. The long-term funding solution for parks is not a series of levies. As Jules Bailey mentioned, the Multnomah County Library District should be our model here. After decades of levies and bond measures and fluctuating funding, in 2012, our renowned library system was launched on its own when voters approved formation of the Multnomah County Library District. This is the model that a courageous city council should follow. Refer Portland Parks and Recreation to the voters as a parks district, removing it from the annual competition for limited general funds with fire, police, and planning. Thank you for your time.
Mike, thank you. And that reminds me, at the end of this, Director Long, when we're done with public testimony, I'll just ask the question now. Could you walk us through the analysis in short terms and bullet point terms? I know you considered the district. That going into this discussion was my first choice, but it quickly became one of my last choices. And so Mike raises some really good questions, and I think we should answer those at the end of the session. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate your testimony, and thank you for raising the question. Next individual, please, Carla.
It's Ted Labby.
Mr. Labby, welcome.
Yes, good afternoon. Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners Udaly, Fritz, and Hardesty, thank you for your public service. My name is Ted Labby, and I'm the Executive Director of the Urban Green Spaces Institute. I serve on the Portland Utility Board along with Karen Spencer, who spoke to you earlier in support of your referral to voters of a city charter amendment enabling public use of city lands for secondary uses. Today, I speak as an individual, not as a member of the PUB. Karen Spencer and I offer these thoughts as you move forward with a referral to voters on a five-year operating levy for parks and recreation. In these unprecedented times, our parks are crucial to our physical, mental, and spiritual health. In the age of COVID, when so many of us are shut inside our homes, disconnected from our family and friends, our city parks are among the only nearby nature available to us. Often our parks are the only places where, with social distancing, we feel safe gathering to connect with one another. And gather we must to heal, share, breathe, and find community. I'm not sure where we would be in this moment without our parks. In spite of the necessary pandemic shutdowns to our community centers, swimming lessons, summer camps, and other programming, our parks are still there. The pandemic has altered our lives, and the changes feel disorienting. But time spent in a Portland park is grounding and helps one recover a sense of social bearing, connection to nature, and to other Portlanders. Our parks and our urban forests feel like an extension of our homes, and to caretake them, we need to invest in their upkeep and care. I encourage you to move ahead with your vote to refer a five-year operating levy to the voters of Portland. This measure certainly won't remedy all of our park and recreation funding woes, but without it, we will be in dire straits. I'm excited to hear the Mayor Wheeler talk around his a call for a play for history with our parks. And I look forward to future funding discussions. Both Karen and I want to encourage all Portlanders to support this five-year operating levy for parks. We need recreation for all to remedy disparities of access and programming, create more equitable delivery of programming, and to support the safe reopening of community centers and pools when we are ready. We need to protect and grow our green spaces, keep our parks clean and safe, and invest and plant and maintain our trees. Through community partnerships and oversight, we will direct the levy monies to address these needs. Let's get it done, Portland. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted. Appreciate your testimony. Thank you for all you do.
Next is Willie Levinson.
Hi, Willie. Welcome. Willie, are you unmuted? We can't hear you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted to give a special shout out to Commissioner Fritz, Amanda. Thank you for the great contribution that you've made to the city. I can't believe you're not going to be in City Hall anymore, but it's a well-deserved change for you. I'm going to miss bumping into you at City Hall on the occasion that I was there, but I wish you the best, and I hope I see you afterward. The Parks Bond, I can't really say too much more than what's already been said, outside the fact that the understanding that I've come from working with Parks in the 10-year of Human Access Projects activism is that it's woefully underfunded, that the general fund is not a stable source of funding. This is something that anybody who follows politics understands. This is long overdue, and it takes things like the pandemic to bring out the necessity to have the courage to finally address some of these things. The Willamette River is Portland's second largest public space and natural area. It's a free, equitable resource to all. You can count on Human Access Project being 100% behind this bond, as long as there's consideration for directing people to the least risky places to get into the river and engineering them to be safer. It's time that Portland starts really getting behind activating this public space. And thanks again. Everybody on council, Chloe, Ted, you guys are just dealing with some very difficult things day in and day out. And I'm grateful for your just commitment to the city. I don't know how you guys do it, but I admire it. Thank you. Go Bond.
Thank you, Willie. Appreciate your enthusiasm as ever.
Next is Jun-Tu Oberg.
Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. Thank you for allowing me to speak with you today. My name is Jun-Tu Oberg, and I'm the Vice President of Northwest Trail Alliance. We are the nonprofit by us in front of Council 10 Port Gateway Green. Our dues-paying membership hit a record of 1,800 mountain bikers in Portland. Today, we are at 4,500. What has caused our tremendous growth? Our members have prioritized access to nature and want trails close to home. These unprecedented times have changed priorities and daily agendas. Bike business in Portland is up in every category. Bikes that have been collecting dust now have tire tread wearing out. Now more than ever, we need access to the outdoors. What we are missing is access to trails. In the 8,000 acres of parks as natural areas, two-wheeled access accounts for less than 5%. As an organization that can provide diverse programming to get community members outside and on bikes, our hands are tied. Not having access to trails close to home keeps the form of recreation to those who can only reach the trailhead with a vehicle. This is not equitable. Northwest Trail Alliance and its 4,500 members, no matter what, we hope that our city and parks finally take us up on our offer to let NWTA help to rehabilitate, steward, and care for the legacy of our Portland parks. Thank you for your time, and I appreciate you all allowing me to speak today.
Thank you, Jun-Tu. Appreciate it very much.
Next is Bob Solinger.
Welcome, Bob.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and members of the City Council. Thanks for the opportunity to testify today, and thanks for all your work on this. I'm wearing two hats today. I serve as Audubon's Conservation Director. I'm also testifying on behalf of the Intertwine Alliance, which is a coalition of groups and businesses that support a strong parks, a system of parks, trails, and natural areas. Audubon Society of Portland's board has already endorsed this and plans to make it a major priority for the fall. The Intertwine Alliance's board has given provisional endorsement. We're still going through our formal process, but also gave provisional endorsement as well so that we could speak in support. So we are very excited about this measure. And I have a long history of working on parks issues. I served on the parks board for two terms. I have served on, I believe, a dozen parks budget committees, and I served on the Sustainable Futures Task Force. So
the issue of how we fund parks is complicated, challenging, and we're very glad that you are giving it the kind of attention that you are, because it has been significantly underfunded and unstable for a very, very long time. Truly appreciate the work of Commissioner Fish in particular in setting us on a course towards sustainability. Recognize that we need to make hard decisions and find a path forward that truly is sustainable and meets our community aspirations. I wanted to acknowledge Commissioner Hardesty's concerns, because this is a very challenging time. And we also talked through some of the issues that she talked about. We all heard about this fairly late in the process. We have concerns about making sure that this isn't a surrogate for looking at the bigger picture. This is just a small piece of the puzzle. It's not the whole puzzle. We want to make sure that this truly is an inclusive ballot measure as well. And we talked through those issues, and in the end, we came to the conclusion that despite the fact that it had to be moved fairly quickly and that it doesn't solve the entire problem, that we could still strongly endorse this measure. So the reason for that is multifold. First, we think we are truly in an incredibly urgent situation, an unprecedentedly urgent situation that really calls for making bold moves to sustain our community. And as you've already heard today, and I won't belabor the point, parks are such an important part of a sustainable, healthy community. Secondly, we've talked with a number of folks about this, and we believe the city is still committed to moving forward with the bigger picture challenge of putting parks on a sustainable funding trajectory. We believe that this measure is consistent with that objective. Having served on the Sustainable Futures Committee, I believe that this would have been part of any package. It's a part that is reasonable to front load. We also believe it's probably gonna take longer to figure out what that big sustainability picture is, because everything is somewhat delayed as we sort out how we deal with the COVID crisis. This, in our opinion, is a smart investment that allows parks to keep the lights on, the doors open, serve the most vulnerable communities, and keep us moving forward on a path towards sustainability and resiliency. Lastly, I would just note that I think it is very consistent with some of the things you all have been talking about recently with the COVID measures and the climate resiliency resolutions. You've talked extensively in recent months, and we really applaud you for this, about advancing even faster, doubling down on our commitments and to creating sustainable, resilient communities. And this is very consistent with that. So we look forward to working with you on this. We do want to make sure that we do continue to think about the bigger picture. We want to make sure this isn't used to backfill general funds. We think there's still time to work through how to make this the best measure possible. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Bob. We appreciate it.
It's Tony DeFalco.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners, good to see you and hear you this afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to share Verde's thoughts on the Parks Levy. My name is Tony DeFalco, and I serve as the executive director of Verde. I wrote a letter to you all, and I'm gonna read the letter and then have a couple other quick comments. We write in qualified support of the referral of the Parks Levy on today. We recognize the challenges that PP&R faces budget-wise and that communities of color will be disproportionately impacted by further cuts to service. We ask that the council place strong directives on the development of the levy in order to better engage low-income and people of color communities. Such directives could include, but not be limited to, creation of a resourced working group of low-income and people of color community members and representatives of organizations working on behalf of communities of color to further develop levy language and campaign activities. The goal of these and other directives the council may deem worthy should be to engage those closest to the problem in crafting the solution, as well as building community capacity as part of the campaign. We share additional specific desires to see in the levy development. One, continue the city's promise to develop a community led master plan for Colwood Park. 2, set contracting performance and levy funds to 50% minority and woman-owned participation. 3, leverage levy dollars to align with and expand community benefits agreements. 4, incorporate explicit racial equity criteria to guide levy investments. 5, draw from community expertise to prioritize community of color priorities for natural area maintenance, in particular those of Indigenous communities. We want to thank PPNR for its leadership to address budget shortfalls and to prioritize equity and utilization of new resources, and we look forward to stable and secure funding for our park system. I would just add a couple notes real quick. One is that this is an important investment for jobs, as has been noted earlier, and Verde itself has benefited from the partnership with parks. And in fact, 2 graduates of our Verde Landscape program now work at Portland Parks and Recreation, and we've been very proud about the ability to graduate folks from our program into good paying green jobs at PPNR. 2, I was really excited to see the backdrop that you, Bureau Director Long, used in your presentation and saw Cully Park there. We have put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into Cully Park and helping to create an investment that we've all been proud of. And we look forward to being able to care for assets like Cully Park and also to be able to ensure that future assets are equally well cared for. Thank you and appreciate all of your leadership.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate your leadership.
Next is Daniel Newberry.
Hi, Daniel.
Can you hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
Okay, thank you very much, Mayor Wheeler and members of the City Council. My name is Daniel Newberry. Today, I'm just representing myself as a resident of Outer East Portland, but I also am the Executive Director of Johnson Creek Watershed Council and a member of the Urban Forestry Commission. First, thank you to everyone, especially folks at Parks and Recreation. I know this has been a big task to take on. And I'd like to say I support the levy, although I do have some issues I would like you to think about. You know, a lot of people speaking before me today have talked about how really underfunded Parks and Recreation is and how it's really part of our culture and well-being in Portland and so important to our health, especially during these COVID days. And I'm concerned about several things. I'm really glad there's a focus on equity here because especially with user fees in the past, a lot of services have not been available to lower income folks, especially communities of color. So I applaud you for centering that in the conversation here. A comment that Mike Abate made really resonates with me about making sure that this isn't just used to backfill general funds that could be reprogrammed somewhere else. So I really encourage the City Council to make an addendum to the resolution to say that the general fund to Parks and Recreation will not decrease from the current levels. Where this really hits home for me is over many years, my job at the Watershed Council, we've been mobilizing thousands of volunteers to help care for parks and natural areas in East Portland. And every year, that part of Parks and Recreation loses employees. And we try to take up the slack with more and more volunteers. And at some point, volunteers have been starting to feel like they've been taking advantage of, that the city just says, oh, we don't need employees, we'll just get volunteers to do the work. So I think that by providing more dollars to maintain the parks, in terms of upkeep and more staff positions, this will really help to address that. I would like to just say, and a couple of commissioners alluded to this, and that is that you can't just keep taxing property owners without hitting limits. And this issue of compression was raised. And I think it's really important for transparency and for getting support from voters to let people know what existing levies and bond measures that taxpayers are already being paid for are going to be impacted. I'm not sure a lot of voters know that some things that have already been passed may actually get less dollars because you're putting in a new levy. So I think you'll really need to be really open and transparent and let people know about that. The other thing, final thing I'd like to mention, Vivek Shandas, who I serve with on the Urban Forestry Commission, talked a little bit about thinking of the urban forest canopy, really, and street trees as part of the park system. I think that's really important. A couple of years ago, the city council devoted $100,000 in one of the bumps for looking at ways of doing street tree maintenance and planting, because the current funding mechanism has adjacent property owners paying for that, which is really inequitable. So I encourage you to put something for that into the funding, into what you're going to be paying for with the bond. And thank you very much for this opportunity. I appreciate all the good work you've all been doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel.
Next is Dawn Stastny.
Good afternoon, Dawn.
Mayor, could I just respond to the previous testimony?
I'm sorry. Commissioner Fritz has her hand up. I'm sorry, Commissioner.
That's okay. It's just a couple of people have now mentioned that we should say that there won't be cuts to the parks budget in the future. First of all, we can't bind future councils with a clause like that. In fact, sometimes, obviously, we have difficulty binding the current council to do various things. So there's that. I would also say that, as Mayor Wheeler mentioned, for at least the past three budgets and probably more, a lot of the testimony at budget hearings has been from park supporters. So I am very confident that the people of Portland will not allow future councils to use this to cut, that this will in fact, and that is partly what the Oversight Committee will be looking at as well, to make sure that it is indeed used for the purposes that are in it and doesn't involve a bunch of backfilling.
Thank you. Appreciate that clarification. I think that's a good one.
This is Don Stastny. Can you hear me?
Hey, Don. Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Thank you. I speak, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners, on behalf of the Halpern Landscape Conservancy. As you know, the Halpern Landscape Conservancy is a volunteer organization dedicated to preserve, maintain, and activate the Portland Open Space Sequence. And since 2008, our public-private partnership with Portland Parks and Recreation has successfully addressed the need and opportunities to connect visitors to the historic Pettigrove Park, Lovejoy Fountain, Source Fountain, and the Keller Fountain. I'd also point out that the recent improvements that were made in that area of somewhere in the neighborhood of $4 million about 60% of that was raised from private sources to help support that construction and maintenance activity. The Halpern Landscape Conservancy supports a proposed Portland Parks and Recreation operational levy, and we urge you to put it on the November ballot. Speaking more personally, I'm an architect and a urbanist that has the opportunity to work throughout the United States. And one of the things that we really understand about cities is that the parks and open space systems are basically the lifeblood of our cities, economically, socially, culturally, and operationally. It's very important that we keep this vital artery open, that we keep it accessible, and that we allow equitable use and support of the overall system to continue to bring our city back to its position it was before COVID. We urge your support of this and to put it on the November ballot. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you today.
Thank you, Don.
Next is Pat Wagner.
Good afternoon, Pat. Pat, are you unmuted? Carla, can you move Pat over?
How is this? Am I there?
Yep, you're good.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Fritz, Hardesty, and Commissioner Udaly, and the Parks Director. My name is Pat Wagner. I'm speaking on behalf of the Linton Community Center, a Parks partner organization. Portlanders, including myself, live under the threat constantly of our community centers either closing or having their services they provide reduced. Without the financial support of Portland Parks, the Linton Community Center would be unable to provide the services we currently provide. This would leave many children of working parents unattended during the crucial hours after school and morning hours. This levy can be a new beginning, one that is more fair and reliable. It is putting people first. It's easy to overlook the impact Portland Parks has on citizens such as myself. Community centers especially impact the lives of young people, lower income residents, senior citizens, and working parents that are too busy with their daily lives to say thank you. The mission of the Linton Community Center has been supported by a partnership with Parks Department. We offer so much. You know, for a few examples are a food pantry for low-income people, preschool, quality day, full day state certified child care for working parents, and an after school program for the children of working parents, a morning breakfast parents program where parents can drop their children off to wait in the safety of the building. We give them food to eat and until the school bus picks them up to deliver them to school. This prevents the children of working parents from waiting alone, sometimes in the dark, at the end of long driveways for their school buses. We also offer a low-cost venue for new immigrants to teach their children and enjoy the cultural events of their native countries. As many of these new immigrants can be short on money, we bargain. For example, a group of Aztec dancers practice at the Linton Community Center every Thursday evening. In exchange, they host a Day of the Dead event over the weekend closest to November 1st and 2nd. We also provide a venue for neighborhood meetings, a community computer lab for job searches, and a no-cost shower for houseless or homeless people. Please don't focus on ability to pay or just the ability to pay. Often parents are unwilling to pay even though they have the money. In Portland, young people often see their friends in parks classes, yet even though their parents are able to pay the fees, the parents won't. They say no. This leaves kids bitter and often separated from their friends. Community centers and swimming pools are the first exposure children have to good government and what it can do to them. These closures leave a lasting impression. It's very disappointing for a child to see the next level of swimming they've been anticipating signing up for has been is not offered because the pool is closed. That's Please great. Take the action needed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony.
Thank you. Could I just comment again there?
Yeah, Commissioner.
I just wanted to say thank you to Pat. You are a true community hero. I feel like there's a lot of wonderful community partners that are coming to testify today. And I just appreciate all that you do at the Linton Community Center, which is sometimes feels Linton can feel a bit removed from Portland, but you're definitely a treasured part of our community. And I'm glad to know that this levy will help.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Next is Jim Etzel.
Very good. And Carla, before Jim jumps in, how many more folks do we have? I just want to do a time check.
I show one more after Jim.
Okay. And Julia Brim Edwards was having a tough time getting on. She is on. Please put her at the end of the list. So we have two more after this. Thank you.
Certainly.
Welcome.
Jim Etzel.
Yep. Yes, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners Hardesty, Udaly, and Fritz. I'm Jim Etzel, the CEO of Sport Oregon. And thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. I'll try to come at it from an additional angle from some of the other supporters of this. and also around equity. Our organization has worked closely with Portland Parks and Recreation over the 27 years of our existence, and to support programs benefiting our community's quality of life, and also identifying and recruiting events that utilize city parks to drive sports tourism, which in turn benefits local businesses. As a nonprofit supported by over 150 member organizations and individuals in our community, our mission is to drive economic growth and enhance quality of life in Oregon communities through sports. A healthy Portland Parks and Recreation is a critical partner as we look to grow sports tourism and equitable opportunities for every citizen of our city that enhance the health and wellness of our entire community, especially underserved communities. The long-term financial stability and predictability that this operating level levy would provide will help tremendously as we recruit and plan for future sports tourism events utilizing our parks. The budget uncertainties for parks, especially over the last decade, have made it extremely difficult for Parks and Recreation, Sport Oregon, and our partners at Travel Portland to commit to hosting these events, as we often work 2 to 5 years in advance of the events actually happening in our community after they're secured. Having that budget certainty would create more sports tourism wins, and that would create much needed local and economic quality of life impacts, especially in our hospitality industry that is really hurting. COVID has caused us to lose numerous events that would have had impacts ranging from 2,000 to 6,000 room nights in our city's hotels, and obviously the trickle down into our restaurants and local businesses have been felt. So sports tourism will be one of the first to come back, and a strong park system will land us additional incremental events in our efforts. I appreciate the opportunity to share why Sport Oregon supports you voting to put this operating levy on the November ballot, and wish you well. Thank you for everything you do for our city.
Thank you, Jim. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you for the good work you do.
Thank you. Appreciate your support.
Next is Tanya DeCroce.
Hi, Tanya.
Oh, hello, everyone. Thank you so much. It's an honor to get a moment of your time to introduce my name, Tanya Louise DeCroce, and my mission. Just a quick little background about who I am. I am a longtime Northeast Portland resident. I am native from Denver. I moved here in Portland in 1996 and have made Northeast my home. I live in Coley, have been here for over about 10 years now, and prior to that in the Alameda area. I'm really quite excited at the end of listening to all of you. You have some wonderful ideas. At the end of all this, I am a supporter of the levy. I first heard about it yesterday through social media, and it was one of the infrastructures that came to me as I've been wondering what I could do to help our communities better. I'm a retired medical and educational speech language therapist. I retired in 2016 after servicing our postgraduate communities in both medical and educational settings. I worked under the Providence Health System for under 10 years, both as a employee, and then in 2006 went just on call, filling in as I could. So I have a unique perspective that I bring to you, from the pediatrics to the adults throughout the state, really, and also our medically fragile schools that are serviced quite often through medical contracts under Medicaid billing, where they are providing the allied services that many school districts have deemed needed to keep our students safe, as well as accessing our curriculum and outcomes for their maturation. So moving along, you'll see I did submit comments, and you can read a little bit more about who I am. I did have the honor of also sitting this morning in the Rockefeller Foundation's first live virtual event to let us know what they're trying to do to help support national efforts. You may know they've been here locally working with OHSU to support the COVID needs that we need so desperately, especially around the testing, tracing, and supporting of the PPE and social distancing protocols. I am a support. I did send you a link there. They're really wanting to let you know that they have invested today massive amounts of funding, $75 billion for community enhancements that are servicing low-income populations, especially around COVID requirements to support their mission to leave no trace, do no harm, and also build partnerships between business, government, and our public sectors and individual actors like myself. Anyway, you'll see my comments also include some of my special ed background and a lot of the platform that gives us a great data point for science starting in 1954 all the way up to your wonderful Oregon Senate Bill 664 of last summer. So some of my questions have already been answered after listening to all of you so eloquently present your positions, some difficult to hear and I know, but I do see some hope at the end of hearing all of it. One of my last comments is just making sure that you know we have a lot of populations out there that fall under a tier three setting, and they actually can come together through partnerships with your medical and your educational settings. They do have that infrastructure in place. After listening to one of your goals about the levy, we can build on that. And I do think there's also some unique opportunities to build on some of these other, like through the Rockefeller Foundation is one that I did find a lot of inspiration in, to help us identify what is in place and what we can do better. And again, they want to help the most needy. Thank you so much for the time to present today. And please put my name somewhere. I'd love to be involved and help us, however, unite in COVID and do some real community peace building around this. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Tony. We appreciate it very much. Thank you for
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Next is Julia Brim Edwards.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mayor Wheeler, commissioners, I'm Julia Brim Edwards, Nike Senior Director for Global Government and Public Affairs. Nike's been our home community for 40 years, and we have a long history with Portland Parks and Rec. I just want to maybe say personally before I start that I've been a neighbor of Portland Park for over 50 years. I've been a park employee at Creston Pool and certainly been a beneficiary of parks programming as I was growing up. Just to speak, as I referenced our Nike's long history with Portland Parks, we've also been engaged with leaders since for many decades, including Charles Jordan, Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Fish. We were delighted when Director Long joined Portland Parks and her leadership. And over the years, we've looked at parks as a critical piece of what makes Portland special in our home community. Our 30-year anniversary project, which was the resurfacing of basketball courts all over the city, was our way to say thank you to Portland for being our home community. At the time, it was the largest global community investment we've made. Since then, over the last decade, we've financially supported the summer free-for-alls, field upgrades, and youth sports programming. And, you know, I can't understate the importance that we see of the park system in the broader community. They give Portlanders a place to play. They provide an opportunity for individuals in our community to be outside, to be in natural places. And I will say, you know, somebody who's right now living right next to the park, our parks are being used more than ever before. The amount of use of our parks during this time has just, I think, expanded exponentially because it's giving people a place to go outside. They're using parks in a different way, but really a critical piece of our city's infrastructure, what keeps us together and connects us. So I just want to close by saying Nike's strongly supporting Portland Parks and Rec, Director Long, the Parks and Rec staff, and support the council's referral of this levy for the November election. And we look forward to providing support for it this fall. And I'm just hesitating because I'm thinking about our good friend, Commissioner Fish, who would have been the biggest booster. And if we hadn't offered to step up to help, he'd be twisting our arms to help. And so I know this fall campaign, we will miss his leadership as part of it. And he would have really been so supportive of this and always made the case of why parks matter to our community. They're not just places to play, but really important community building places. So thank you for the opportunity to testify today, and we are very supportive of the measure.
Julia, thank you, and thank you for doing a daily double today. We appreciate that. Thanks for your leadership, and thank you for Nike's support. Commissioner Fritz has her hand raised.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Julia, for Nike's support. You, I'm sure, will remember that back in 2014, since I did not have Commissioner Fish's prowess in encouraging people to donate to the campaign, the Portland Parks Foundation was helpful in that regard, but also many, many community members and companies have stepped up. I believe it cost a little over $300,000 to run that campaign. And so before it's referred, we can actually mention that, yes, we would like both your support and other community members. And sometimes people need to be wait to be asked to donate to campaigns. I hope that in this case, people will recognize the need and step up. And I know that you and Nike will. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Any further discussion on the resolution? You know what? I had one last question. I'm sorry. Director Long or somebody from the Parks Bureau staff, could you quickly go through the logic of why we abandoned the Parks District strategy? That came up early in the testimony, and obviously that was something that we were all hopeful could be a viable option for us, but fairly quickly we realized that was not going to work. Is there somebody who can quickly review the reasoning behind that?
Yes, thank you, Mayor Wheeler. This is Sarah Huggins from Parks.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. So the primary reason that a Parks District is not something that we're considering in the short term is that it involves an actual change in governance structure. So under Oregon state law, the current city council could not be the governing body of a Parks District. It would need to be a new independently elected body, or it could be county commissioners. So that is still something that could be on the table for a longer term, but it would take significant time to put in place. We have, parks make up 10% of the city's land, so that is a significant conversation that the city would need to have. We also have many ongoing labor contracts. We would need to figure out how that works. And then just sort of the mechanics of putting a special district in place, it is not something the city council could refer to the ballot, so it would need to be referred by either the consent of every single Portlander or 15% by a petition of Portlanders. And then there's also a long time frame, so 180 days before it could go before the county to consider for referral. So that was not something that we could do in a shorter time frame.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. All right.
And so, I think if I could just add to that, Mayor, the other issue is that we're not just Multnomah County. There are parts of Portland in Washington and Clackamas counties. So creating a district that actually would cover all of Portland would be extremely challenging.
No disagreement there, Commissioner Fritz, but I wanted to get that on the record since it had been raised, and reasonable people would naturally, as frankly I did early on, gravitate towards that as a possible permanent funding solution. So it's still on the table for the future, but I agree, at least in the near term, the hurdles that we have to jump over are too high. So that brings us, I don't see any more hands raised. That brings us to the vote. This is a resolution. Carla, please call the roll.
You, Daly?
Oh, I didn't realize I was going first. Well, first I want to thank everyone for presenting. I want to thank community members who gave testimony. Because this is on kind of an accelerated timeline, I'm reassured to hear from so many trusted advocates that they are supporting this levy. I wanted to just highlight something that came up during the session, which is that levy dollars can be used for operations and maintenance, unlike the bond. And that has been a real problem for parks in the past. And it's one of the reasons that the levy is the more desirable option at this time. And I want to suggest that one of the opportunities that this levy might allow is for parks to take on the Duckworth dock, which Human Access Project has been championing it as a potentially world-class urban swimming hole, and recently installed multiple swimming ladders on the dock, and it is being put to good use during this heat wave. And it's one of, I'm sure, many facilities that would be a fantastic part of our parks portfolio, or could be, if this levy passes. So I am happy to offer my support and vote aye.
Fritz?
So Commissioner Udaly raises a good point that there are many uses for this potential money. And we're all clear this is not enough. I believe that when we had the discussion last year, the estimate to really fund a good park system with urban forestry and various other and adequate maintenance was at least $100 million per year. So this, and frankly, when I was briefed on this earlier in the year, and then just before we were no longer in City Hall, I was disappointed that the levy had been proposed, because it doesn't fix the problem. It's a stopgap. And then COVID came along. And there's so many things that need to be taken care of. This will take care of some of the most urgent needs. This will, and I very much appreciate that it seems that Parks is reimagining and re-envisioning the park system, building it from the ground up to look at the most vulnerable, to see how we fund things. So that is really exciting to me. I have been hesitant about adding property taxes. We know that there's a lot of inequities in the property tax system. We know that people in East Portland tend to pay proportionately more in property taxes. And if this had been proposed during Commissioner Fish's first go around with parks, I would have been very concerned about it. Because we passed the parks bond measure in 2014 and we invested money in East Portland, because we had $100 million to invest in new park facilities, over $70 million of which was invested in East Portland. East Portland now finally has some wonderful parks that need to be taken care of. So it would be tragic if we invested all that system development charge money and then couldn't maintain those parks as they need to be maintained. And so for that reason, I'm much more supportive. Thank you, Sarah Huggins, for your work not only with this measure, but also with the parks bond measure. You know, parks works really hard to do what they say they're going to do. And we know that Portlanders love our parks. So we have received quite a lot of correspondence, much of it in support and some of it saying, please don't raise my property taxes. We're not raising the property tax by doing this. We are sending it to the voters to decide what is the best allocation for their property taxes. And while Commissioner Hardesty has the right to her opinions, we serve in a commission form of government, and the mayor as parks commissioner and the parks director have determined that this is the best thing to do at this time. And therefore, I will support it enthusiastically. I do encourage community members to find out how you can become involved, because especially in COVID, we need to have people by word of mouth. And sometimes that might be Zoom, sometimes that might be phone call, sometimes it might be from one side of the street to the other, or one side of the park to the other. We are going to need people to understand what is it we're proposing, what is it going to do, and why we would like them to support it. And so I will try to, as I'm campaigning for the Water Bureau's ballot measure, I will certainly make sure that I add my support and explain to people all the things that I just mentioned. And although this wouldn't have been Commissioner Fish's first choice I know how much he cared about parks, and I know how much he was proud of what Director Long is doing. So I'm happy to vote yes in his honor. Aye.
Wheeler.
As I said at the beginning of this hearing, this is an inflection point for the future of Portland Parks and Recreation. And as Director Long said, it's an opportunity to make sure we continue to serve all of Portlanders and to serve them better than before. My office and the Parks Bureau have heard from many community members, including those who joined us today, who support this proposal and want to see more of the vital programs and services that Portland Parks and Recreation provides. I agree. This levy can help us achieve a more equitable, robust, and financially stable park system. I've heard concerns from some that this is rushed or that the timing isn't right. Parks has been facing budget challenges for at least the past decade. The Parks team has been diligently researching and developing solutions based on the council's feedback during the work session that we had last November. The challenges caused by COVID have made it clear to me that this levy is not only responsive to the Bureau's urgent financial needs, but that it would also improve services during a time when Portlanders have been relying on free lunches, outdoor spaces, and other critical parks programs more than ever. To the second concern I've heard, that the timing isn't right, I recognize that there are other asks of taxpayers on the November ballot, and that we're facing economic challenges on both an individual as well as a global scale. I get it, but let's be clear. This would provide a huge return on investment with offerings like free swim lessons, free after-school activities for kids and teens, free summer camps, programs for seniors, new culturally specific programs, a way to keep the doors open at Multnomah Arts Center and the Community Music Center, cleaner parks and natural areas all across our entire city, and much, much more. These programs, I believe, would especially benefit low-income households, East Portlanders, and communities of color. And Parks will work with the community to ensure that we follow through on these commitments. I just want to take a moment to talk about jobs. I believe we can all agree that right now, more than ever, we need good-paying jobs, union jobs. As our labor partners who are present today pointed out, this levy would create a wide range of new jobs, like recreation staff, professional maintenance staff, administrative support staff, and staffing in many other key areas. One of the possibilities I'm personally most excited about is expanding the Bureau's youth conservation crew. It gives teens and young adults real job experience, and it creates a pipeline to a range of environmental career opportunities. With this levy, Portland Parks and Recreation would once again be the largest employer of youth in the entire city. Colleagues, I believe the answer is clear, and the time is now. I'd like to take a moment for some important thank yous. First and foremost, to thank the community for cherishing your parks and recreation system and pushing us to make it better. To our invited guests today, we appreciate your time and support. Thank you to the team who helped put this exciting proposal together. Deputy Parks Director Todd Lofgren, Finance, Property, and Technology Manager Claudio Campuzano, Community Relations Manager Tim Collier, Program Specialist Nicola Sisson, and City Attorney Robert Taylor, and of course, our City Economist Josh Harwood. And two quick extra special thank yous to Sarah Huggins, who's led the research and development that brought us here today. Sarah, your passion for parks and a more equitable community have never wavered. And to Director Adina Long, who's led the Bureau with poise, passion, and dedication since her first day in Portland. Thank you. And of course, I'd like to thank my council colleagues for their thoughtful questions and working towards what is a shared goal of a more sustainable future for Portland Parks and Recreation. Commissioner Fritz, I want to thank you especially for your service as Parks Commissioner, your commitment to building new parks in underserved communities like East Portland, is going to leave a lasting legacy, one that you should be very proud of. And speaking of legacy, we wouldn't even be here today without the work of Commissioner Nick Fish. Nick's vision for parks was simple: put people first. He did it by expanding our community gardens program so that people could grow their own fresh and healthy food, by making simple investments like a new playground that have big impacts for the community, by rallying the business community to support the summer free-for-all, a name that he came up with, and by his work to put the Bureau on solid financial footing. I'm proud that we're taking this step toward fulfilling that vision. I vote aye, and the resolution is adopted. And with that, Carla, we've been at this for quite a while. Why don't we take a recess for 10 minutes? We will be back at 4:25. We are in recess.
Thank you.
I see your lips moving, but I can't hear.
Sorry, I was just organizing my desktop here. I am not a digital native, so I'm not as nimble as I'd like to be. All right, we are back in session. This is the Portland City Council, of course. If you thought you were going to be watching something else, you blew it. Carla, could you please read item 617, our final item for today?
Yes. Amend planning and zoning code to extend the expiration date for some land use approvals, maintain inclusionary housing rates outside the central city and gateway plan districts, and allow for virtual neighborhood contact meetings.
Thank you, Carla, and thank you, colleagues. Today, we're continuing our discussion of the expiration date extension project from the July 8th hearing. We will vote on several amendments that were introduced at that hearing and vote on revised findings. As we all know, the COVID-19 pandemic has had widespread impacts in our city, including on the construction and development sectors of our economy and on the development review process. These impacts, which include slowdowns to the application process, as well as on job sites, physical distancing requirements, and COVID-related economic uncertainty, are causing land use reviews to expire before applicants have the opportunity to act on them. The expiration project is a package of proactive steps the city can take to provide some relief to applicants affected by the pandemic. On July 8th, a public hearing was held on this package. At the hearing, BPS staff presented the project. I introduced 4 amendments to the proposal, and they were all seconded at that time. Several community members provided testimony at the hearing as well. Today, we'll be getting a brief update from the BPS staff. We will then vote on the amendments introduced at the July 8th hearing and move, second, and vote on the revised findings. So with that, I'll turn it over to BPS staff, JP McNeil, to give us an update. Greetings.
Hello, good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and members of the City Council. For the record, I'm JP McNeil. And I am trying to share my screen. Do you see my screen?
Yep, we do. It seems large. I can't tell if it's...
Let me try something different. I have it all full screened out. And that might be the problem.
Maybe.
Oh, now it stopped. Let's try this. Where did it go? There it is. That any better?
Yeah, that's better. That's okay. Good.
Well, let's do this. All right. So, as you mentioned, Mayor, the project addresses several issues related to the administration of the zoning code and the economic disruption the COVID-19 pandemic has had on the development market. So this proposal will amend Title 33 to provide relief to applicants impacted by the pandemic. So I'm just going to give you a quick refresher. I'm not going to go into detail on these, but just very quickly, these are the 8 proposals that were recommended to you by the Planning and Sustainability Commission. The first is the pre-application conference proposal. This would extend the timeframes for pre-application conferences from 1 to 2 years. The virtual neighborhood contact proposal. This allows neighborhood contact meetings to occur virtually using video conferencing technology. The land use review proposal extends the expiration date for land use reviews that have been impacted by the pandemic. Generally, they expire after 3 years, and this would extend a set of land use reviews until January 1st of 2024. The final plat proposal, under the current code, a final plat expires after 180 days of inactivity. This extends that period of inactivity to 365 days before the final plat expires. The Conway Master Plan proposal, that would extend the Conway Master Plan for a large segment of Northwest Portland. The Master Plan is set to expire in 2022, and this would extend it until January 1st of 2024. The Nonconforming Upgrades proposal, this extends the compliance period for nonconforming upgrades, which are required for building permits for large alterations on sites with nonconforming development. And so this would extend the agreements impacted until January 1st of 2022. The inclusionary housing rates proposal, there's a Currently, a lower rate of affordable housing is required for inclusionary housing projects outside of the central city and Gateway. And so this proposal would extend those lower rates, which were set to expire at the end of this year. Finally, the list of terms proposal is just a simple quick fix to the code to add some terms that were inadvertently left out with the Better Housing by Design project. Real quick, I'll just cover the mayor's amendments. As you mentioned, Mayor, the amendments that were introduced at the July 8th hearing, the retroactivity amendment, which expands the extension period for the land use review extensions, would have begun capturing land use reviews effective as of the date of this ordinance. This amendment allows the proposal to apply retroactively to land use reviews that began to expire at the time of the pandemic hit Portland, which we've correlated with the governor's emergency declaration on March 8th. The virtual neighborhood contact amendment, which simply extends the allowance for virtual neighborhood contact meetings until January 1st of 2024. The inclusionary housing amendment, this would limit the extension of the lower affordable housing rates for inclusionary housing projects outside the central city and Gateway. So that would be limited from 3 years to 1 year. And finally, the SDC amendment, this is for system development charges. It would delay the increase of SDCs for PBOT, BES, and the Water Bureau that went into effect on July 1st of this year, and it would just delay that to August 1st. And this corresponds to a four-week backlog in permitting permit processing at BDS. Quickly, the testimony. After the last hearing, the record was held open until July 15th at 5 p.m. There was no additional testimony submitted after the July 8th hearing. So in sum, we had 8 pieces of written testimony to the PSC, 2 pieces to you at City Council, and there were 7 testifiers at our July 8th hearing. So with that, that's my brief refresher and update. Unless there are any questions for me, I will turn it back to you, Mayor.
Very good, colleagues. Any further questions at this particular juncture? I don't see any. Very good. Next, we'll vote on the amendment. Commissioner.
Mayor. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was not able to see the raised hand thing. So there was a late-breaking issue with the Portland Water Bureau because of the way they charge their system development charges. I understand that your staff and the Water Bureau are working on that. Does anybody have an update on that?
Commissioner Fritz, this is Lauren King. Yes, we do have an update, and it is included in Amendment 4. The mayor will be introducing that.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. So the first amendment aligns with the start date of the proposal to extend land use review approvals retroactive to the start of the pandemic. Specifically, the amendment that I proposed moves the start date back to March 8th of 2017. This amendment does not apply to sites in unincorporated Multnomah County or to land divisions. This we refer to as Mayor's Amendment Number 1. Is there any further discussion on Number 1? Seeing none, Carla, please call the roll.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment is adopted. The second amendment extends the proposal to allow for virtual public meetings until January 1st, 2024 to match the other proposals. Since we don't know how long this pandemic is going to be with us, obviously it makes sense to extend this proposal longer than the end of this year. Is there any further discussion on this amendment? This was Mayor's Amendment 2. Please call the roll.
Udaly?
I would just like to say that I support the extended time frame for virtual neighborhood contact meetings, and that my office and civic life are in the process of procuring an online civic engagement platform that I think could serve these purposes very well. I vote aye.
Fritz.
I continue to be concerned about moving only to virtual meetings. Certainly right now, obviously, it's the main option. And I have voiced this to the various people concerned, and I know that they will continue to keep that in mind moving forward. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. Amendment 3, and the amendment passes. Amendment 3 is to reduce the amount of time the lower inclusionary housing rates would continue to apply outside of the central city and gateway from 3 years to 1 year. As I mentioned during our previous hearing, I'm committed to a Portland Housing Bureau study focused on ways to improve the inclusionary housing program, and I believe a one-year extension provides a reasonable time frame to align with this effort. Is there any further discussion on this amendment? Seeing none, Carla, please call the roll.
Udaly.
I'm looking forward to that study as well, and the opportunity to kind of refine these policies, make sure that we are not skewing incentives, we're closing loopholes, and looking forward to that conversation. I vote aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment's adopted. As moved, Amendment 4 will postpone the effective dates of the system development charges for the Bureaus of Environmental Services, Water, and Transportation. This amendment delays the effective date of the new rates until August 1st, 2020 to account for permit processing delays at BDS and allows applicants to minimize the financial impact of the SDC fee increases. During the last hearing, this amendment was moved and seconded, but the amendment did not include all of the exhibits and included the Water Bureau. If there's no objection, I would like to make a friendly amendment to include Exhibits C and D. Exhibit C reflects the BES system development charge fees, the SDC fees. Exhibit D reflects PBOT's SDC fees. Again, these are the fees that will be in place until August 1st, 2020. My friendly amendment also removes Water Bureau from the list. The Water Bureau has indicated that unlike the BES and PBOT, they do not assess SDCs at the time of application. My office circulated an ordinance to reflect this change. And assuming that everybody finds that language acceptable, I would like to withdraw my previous amendment and have a motion and a second to put this one on the table instead, which we will then vote on.
Second.
We have a second from Commissioner Fritz. I've moved it. Call the roll.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
So just to further explain what the mayor said, the other infrastructure bureaus get their system development charges on permit application intake, so it makes sense for them to delay the month to accommodate the delay. The Water Bureau doesn't receive system development charges until the developer is ready for installation, which is months to years after the permit has been taken in and issued. And since it's completely up to the developer when they request a fee statement from the Water Bureau, which signals they're ready for the water installation to be performed, we apply the rates of the fiscal year when they are made, when the request is made. So there wouldn't be a way to capture the folk, to help the folks intended to benefit from this extension. So I appreciate the mayor and his staff's quick work to get this done, as well as the assistance of the city attorney's office. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment's adopted, and thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Finally, staff has prepared updated findings, Exhibit A to the ordinance, to reflect the amendments and testimony that we received. This is a new amendment and requires a motion and a second. Can I get a motion and a second to amend the ordinance by substituting updated Exhibit A?
So moved.
So moved.
We have second. A motion from Commissioner Udaly, a second from Commissioner Fritz. Any questions or comments on that particular one before we call a roll? Seeing none, Carla, please call the roll on that exhibit.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. All right. All right, are there any further questions or statements from my colleagues before we move this on?
This is going to go to another vote next week.
Correct.
Is that correct?
So I just want to state for the record how grateful I am to attorneys. I mentioned this morning, but in particular, not only attorneys, but planners and permit staff and all of the people who process these permit applications and all the, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's and make sure that the money is done correctly. And so I do appreciate all of these attention to detail, and I'm confident that we got it right now. So thanks, everybody.
Very good. I also want to thank staff who've worked so hard to prepare this proposal very quickly and address the COVID-19 impacts on the development review customers. This is obviously pretty thick stuff, and it's times like this when I'm glad we all have really smart staffs, both at the council level in our bureaus and in our legal department, to be able to help us muddle through all of this. So thank you. This matter is continued to July 29th. At 10 a.m. time certain for a second reading and a vote on the proposal. If council is in full agreement on the proposal at that hearing, we have the option of adding an emergency clause to the ordinance. Before I conclude the hearing, I see Lauren, and that always makes me very twitchy. Lauren, you got anything else to add?
You're doing great. I just wanted to make sure we had it continued to a date and time certain, and you had it.
All right, very good. Thank you to our council clerk staff for hanging with us all day and doing an exceptional job. Thank you to our bureau leadership and bureau staffers who are with us all day. Thank you to my colleagues and their staffs, and to everybody who testified today. Thank you. This concludes today's hearing. We are adjourned.